Are you kidding me? It's the weekend already. Woo! I love those 40 work weeks. They just, they are special. Well, happy Friday. Let's crank her up. If you do something you love, it'll never feel like work. However, chores is still going to ruin your life. So just keep that in mind. Don't get too happy.
There is that.
It is 8:07. Good morning. That's your time check. Brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here as we begin hour number three. And here's what we got going on as far as things to do, perhaps, on a Friday. Maybe we'll get some more thunderstorms in and you will be stuck indoors. The Gator girls, they lost 3-0 to Texas yesterday in a real heartbreaker. They're not going to have an easy road back. They play tonight at 7 p.m. against Tennessee. And I believe it was Tennessee who got their hearts ripped out. They were up 2-0. Then, boom, walk off, 3-run homer for Oklahoma. The Sooners turned into boomers, and boom, that ball went way out into the stands. So Tennessee's not going to be happy. And the Gators, their backs are against the wall as well. It's elimination time, so they got to keep winning if they want to keep playing. The Gator boys play. They just kicked off their tournament today. They'll play at noon against East Carolina. And then FSU, their guys, they're hosting their regional tournament. So they'll take on Bethune-Cookman today at 3. Now, that'll be on the ACC network. The Gator guys will be on ESPN2, I believe, was the way it was all going down. So, see, I even mentioned the Seminoles in there. You know why? Because I'm not a hater, number one. And number two, they, you know, they've got a pretty solid baseball team. I mean, look, they're perennial in the hunt usually. I mean, they've had a storied, long, great program. And I'm not a hater. So, you know what I mean? Go Seminoles. Let's they go up against the Gators and, you know, things change. But, you ready for some law and order?
Uh-oh. Like good law and order or bad law and order?
Bad law and order.
Oh, really?
A Maryland teen busted for allegedly breaking into 121 cars in a single night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Overachiever.
Yes. The Maryland teen's name, Speedy Gonzalez.
I believe that.
Are we even allowed to say that anymore?
It's racist.
Saying that Mexicans could be fast runners?
Yeah, pretty much anything is racist.
Now, the Frito Bandito is bad because that you're saying they're a criminal. But a Maryland teen busted allegedly 121 cars busted into in a single night.
That is amazing.
So, of course, it's a teen and it's Maryland. So, you know, what do you think he spent? A couple hours, maybe? A couple hours in jail.
That much, really? Because he's a Maryland teen.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The teen was a very good kid. As soon as he was let out of jail, I'm assuming it's a he, I'm not positive, but no, it is a 16-year-old boy. So he gets let out of jail, right? He, like a good boy, goes home, goes to bed, so that he could get up nice and early and start looting again the next day. The next day! If you don't punish bad behavior, if you expect anything other than more bad behavior, you are not very bright.
An idiot.
So anyway, these crimes took place around Laurel, Prince George County, nearby Howard County. Surveillance footage from across the area capturing a gang of three teens roving around in a stolen car, smashing open the windows of whatever vehicles they came across. Can you believe they got into 121 different vehicles before they were finally caught? And then when they catch them, they let them go?
Amazing.
It really is. I mean, what's the old rule? Are, you know, are they going to be a threat or a detriment to society? Well, they've already proved they don't care about rules. They don't care about breaking and entering.
But nobody's teaching them a lesson either. So,
and look, in today's economy, with the issues that we have with the homeless, you know, when they're smashing windows in, there could be somebody sleeping in that car.
Yeah.
I mean, really, many things to consider. After the boy was taken into custody, Maryland State Attorney's Office requested that the boy remain in juvenile detention due to the scale of his alleged crime. But police were rebuffed because of the boy's lack of previous criminal record. Well, if you keep letting him go, guess what he'll never get is a criminal record. Yeah. And they characterized his offenses as lower level crime. Yeah. That's how a lot of lifelong criminals start out, by breaking the law in their teenage years. And then they graduate to higher crimes. If I can bust a window, you know, and get a purse that has, you know, $30 in it, wonder if I robbed this liquor store.
I mean, so he had no previous record, but maybe the first 60 cars should have been counted as a previous record.
I think that I would go along with that, except that the speed in which they engaged in this behavior, 121 cars.
That's impressive.
In one day.
Yeah.
Yeah. But one of the prosecutors actually did say something along those lines. I would offer well over 100 cases in one night. Gives you a pretty good record. Yeah. 5 hours after they were at his house, he was released back into the community, back into the environment that allowed him to be roaming the streets in all of these counties late at night and in the early morning doing these crimes to begin with. And the very next night, of course, there was another spate of break-ins in Laurel. And, we're not going to lay every theft from auto in the region on him and his group. But I will note that we did have 17 the very next night. I mean, clearly you have somebody who... I mean, if you're going to try to teach them a lesson, what you have taught them so far is not a lesson other than in a lesson of how silly the authorities are. This is the antithesis of trying to have law and order and safe streets when you let somebody out of jail immediately. I mean, you wouldn't hold them in detention for at least a full day. And then maybe face a judge. Right. I mean,
start to experience the process on the road you're on.
Yeah. And look, for every, you know, crime that some teenager commits and makes a mistake, you know, you can't lock them up and throw away the key. But, you know, if you've done 121 break-ins in one night and you return to that kind of activity almost immediately after your release.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's somebody that has, well, some issues to say the least. Doesn't understand some boundaries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he needs to enjoy some boundaries, courtesy of the local government.
Somebody hears breaking glass in Florida. You might also hear the sound of a rack. Know what I mean?
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Not a bit. But
no?
That's okay. No.
I hear broken glass.
Oh, I wasn't sure what your sound was or what was coming.
Oh, rack.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Some racks don't make any noise.
Wow.
I was talking about deer. Come on, man.
Yeah.
8:15 on the Bob Rose Show. Craig.
Oh, dear.
Don't make me tell Mom. News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Cracking down. 8:19 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Happy, happy Friday. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. So the consideration of maybe not allowing Chinese nationals to come to school in the United States. Some people go, oh, well, that's not right. Oh, that's racist. That's mean. That's whatever. Remember, the Chinese Communist Party is in charge in China. And as long as they are, they're going to have a reach that goes clear around the world to any of the Chinese nationals living here. They utilize techniques like threats against their family and stuff to get their way and get their people to do things. That it's a fact. And here's a case in point. I mean, these folks were in the military. They were in the army, active duty army. Jian Zhao and Li Tian. Arrested early March after allegedly selling top secret information to individuals based in China. Federal prosecutors say they sold sensitive military information to a former soldier who also appears to be Asian, who allegedly would receive money from individuals residing in China. Alleged documents include Google Drive link containing classified documents about the Stryker combat vehicle. Also sensitive data on other U.S. weapons systems. And prosecutors said the incidents highlight efforts by China to use cutouts, known as people trusted by Chinese intelligence services, to gather sensitive information that could help the Chinese government. Those cutouts then recruit individuals with access to or knowledge of U.S. government information, which includes current and former government officials.
Wow.
Yeah.
But again, nothing to see here, right? Just let anybody in.
Yeah, that's the attitude under Biden, and I'm sure, you know, he's getting his palms greased, you know, mightily. Well, we know the whole, you know, Biden-Penn Center was financed mostly by Chinese money, which means the Chinese Communist Party, they have their hands and some control over everything, every aspect of life. What goes on, who does what, who's transacting businesses on a small to large scale. They're on. They're in on all of it. And so, yeah, we're at a dangerous time for a lot of different things, but one of them is the asymmetrical war in which we're engaged in, whether we want to be or not, with China. According to court documents, they have security video showing one of them. They allegedly brought their personal cell phone into a classified area of Joint Base Lewis McChord in Washington in May of 24, printed a classified document, and left with it. He would allegedly return over 3 hours later with the document. Prosecutors also alleged that one of them took screenshots of sensitive information on several occasions. And, you know, it goes on from there. And here's the thing. Oh, that'd be great if it was, you know, isolated. Yeah. Any group, any people, whatever, could get mixed up in this stuff. But no. I mean, this is one of the goals and one of the focuses of the Chinese intelligence community. One of the guys that knows a lot about this, I believe he was a former high-ranking intel official under the previous Trump administration, I believe. He said that gaining intel from the U.S. military is one of the Chinese government's highest requirements. They want to recruit U.S. military because there's a probability we might go to war with China, and not just U.S. military, but NATO members as well, and throughout Asia. So they've got a massive intelligence apparatus. They're not just targeting U.S. military. They're targeting many other aspects of American society as well, including academia. Five former University of Michigan students were charged in October of 24 after they allegedly were caught spying on a National Guard training center for the Chinese government. The former University of Michigan students were confronted by a Utah National Guard sergeant major in August of 23 near a lake camp at Lake Grayling in Michigan. Hmm. I mean, and there's so many cases that go on and on. We had them at the naval base in Key West wandering around. Oh, where's McDonald's? You said. Mm-hmm. Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. And Kevin, good morning.
Yeah, I was just wondering if Trump has gotten rid of the Chinese police departments in the United States, because it's time he did. Thank you.
Yeah, it's 2022. Mm-hmm. I believe they were closed. The FBI shut them down. Now, could they pop up in different locations under different kind of storefronts and operations? Yeah, there's always a chance. But I believe that they're staying on top of it.
Oh,
I believe
they
will.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, they don't have to have a storefront or anything else to operate out of.
No.
You've got everything else. I mean, you've got, they've got all the data. They collect data every day from everyone.
Yes, they do.
So.
Remember that when you click that terms and conditions box on an app. Just saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. And I threaten, like, I'm going to unplug. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that.
No, we don't.
They probably know all they need to know about me, because after all, I'm just a simple man.
That'd be a good song.
Living a simple life. Yeah. Hmm. Oh, you mean like, I don't know, a band out of Jacksonville? Where they say the West Side is the best side? Talking about Van Zandt?
Uh-huh.
The Van Zandt boys? Mm-hmm. Lynyrd Skynyrd. The old PE teacher.
Yeah.
But then they pronounced it Leonard Skinnerd.
Well, he was a little more ethnic.
Okay. Trump not happy with the whole tariff thing. Not happy with the panel of judges going, no, you can't do that. And then got the appeals court going, well, yes, he can until we figure this out. So that's kind of where it is right now. This is you're tying the hands of a president who is deeply involved in negotiations that impact our economy in extremely direct and important ways. But these activist judges, they don't care. It's we hate Trump. We're out to get Trump. We're out to make life miserable for him. And they don't really care what the fallout is. They don't care what the side effects are. That's pretty obvious. Did I mention that Smokey Robinson fighting back? You know, there was a lawsuit filed against him by some former maids. Well, he has filed a $500 million counter suit against his sex abuse accusers. Smokey Robinson and his wife, Frances Robinson, filed a defamation suit against a group of women who have accused him of sexual assault. The cross-complaint suit claims the sexual assault allegations by four former housekeepers filed May 6th were fabricated in order to support an extortionate scheme. The suit contends that the Robinsons did not harm or abuse the former housekeepers and seeks to force the women who filed their suit using Jane Doe names to be publicly identified. It also alleges they first demanded $100 million before filing the suit. Yeah, in other words, yeah, okay. We don't want justice. We don't want you to go to jail for all your right. heinous crimes, but we do want $100 million. It doesn't mean that what they're doing with it, that it's necessarily fabricated or not. But right. I told you early on, when you have that kind of money,
mm-hmm.
You're a target. You're a target. But you have that kind of money. Also, doesn't mean you're necessarily innocent of the allegations either. So, well, maybe we'll see. Sometimes we get to the truth. Mm-hmm. About 1 in 10. In general. 8:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Happy, happy weekend. Go Gators and go Seminoles. Everybody's busy playing baseball and softball today and tonight. Happy Friday. Good morning. Welcome. It is 8:33 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. One of your top stories, Bernie Kerik. Remember him? Yep. He was the former NYPD commish. He was there when the whole 9/11 thing went down. He's passed away, some sort of medical complication, maybe related to his heart, but he was 69 years old. All right. Trump and the tariffs. So this three-judge panel, which turns out are big-time Democrat activist types, they ruled that, nope, you can't just do the tariff things the way you want under that so-called, you know, emergency ruling or whatever. But then an appeals court stepped in and said, yeah, he can until we figure this out. So there it kind of sits, and they'll have to, you know, sooner rather than later address this issue. The tariffs are really important. The president's ability to wheel and deal and have control over those tariffs is important. And you know what? All they've done, these Democrat activist judges, all they're doing is making it more difficult for Trump to get a good deal for Americans. So, yeah, they want to punish Trump. But in essence, what they're doing is they're punishing our economy. Mm-hmm. And so they're punishing the American people.
Well, they couldn't win the election. So this is their way.
Yeah.
Of trying to stop the Trump agenda.
Hey, don't forget, Black Tie Blue Jeans Barbecue coming up, the 23rd Ooh. Annual Ronald Reagan. It's at Legacy Park in Alachua, like it has been for several years now. It's the 23rd.
Wow.
23rd annual. So, special guest speaker, Byron Donalds. He's probably going to be Florida's next governor. Okay? And I don't think that's a crazy out-on-a-limb prediction.
No.
I think he's looking real, real good for that. Congresswoman Kat Kamick is also going to speak. But you want to grab your tickets before they are gone. And the event is on Thursday, September 25th. Doors open at 5:30. The program will begin promptly at 7. Ticket price is $95 each, or if you're a veteran, it's only $75. Of course, tables and sponsorships and stuff like that are still available, but you want to move quickly on that. Go to AlachuaRepublicans.com/tickets, and you'll see the tables are available on that website as well. That's AlachuaRepublicans.com/tickets, where you can see the next governor before he's the governor.
There you go.
It is 8:36 right now. And let's go to the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines and touch base with Roy. Good morning.
Well, you know, my personal opinion on these activist judges, that they're voting, they are going against the United States citizens of America. And so, in my opinion, honestly, the way they're doing things, they are traitors to the United States. That's an opinion.
No. I don't disagree with you. They probably don't see it that way. They are doing purposeful harm,
sure,
to Donald Trump, to his reputation, to his ability to govern in the way that he sees fit. And obviously they want to tie his hands from doing, you know, trade deals that really are to the benefit of the American citizens. And there's also an economic ripple effect. They don't care about that. It's get Trump at all costs. And if a side effect is, you know, economically there's some suffering, they don't care. And I mean, I say that it really in my heart of hearts, they really do not care. Now, they don't want to be harmed by it economically, but they're willing to at least pay somewhat of a price if it takes down Trump. You got to remember, mm-hmm. That's why it's called Trump derangement syndrome. It's not based on rational thought. It never was. Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. This time, Steve, you're on the air.
You know, we keep pointing our fingers at activist judges, but there are people bringing these cases, and they're generally loaded with Democrats. So it's about the Democrats working really hard to impede the president's agenda. But the reality is, a lot of times these judges have to say, hey, wait a minute, we need to research this further. Yeah, we're imposing an injunction, or no, is really the discretion that they're using until they get to the point where they can make an accurate ruling. So you can't always blame the judges. It's the people that are bringing these suits to the judges.
Yeah, in some cases, correct. I still blame the activist judges. I just think they put their own political interest above truth, fairness, justice, which they're supposed to be referees of. I think they put that before even the Constitution, for sure. And even if it comes at a cost of doing harm to the American citizens, and they are activist judges, and they're very much problematic. And some of these aren't, you know, based on, you know, suits being brought forward. Sometimes it's just, you know, the judges invoke, you know, an injunction. So, but I mean, yeah, I mean, you're right. Anybody who does bring these suits that turn out to be frivolous or based on, you know, the wrong ideas, opinions, whatever. Yeah, that's going on as well. But really, I'm telling you, the activist judges that are putting all these other things before what they're supposed to be, you know, principled on and prioritize, which they're supposed to be fair. Justice is blind. These people are not. These people are not blind. They are acutely focused on all things anti-Trump. Hey, Mike Rowe, what a popular guy. Who doesn't like Mike Rowe? You know.
Oh yeah.
He reveals how he'd spend Trump's proposed $3 billion trade school windfall. This is money that would have went to Harvard, I think, is what we're talking about here, or a lot of it. And they continue to threaten Harvard with the prospect of removing the billions. And Mike Rowe, of course, you know, the dirty jobs guy, He has a bold plan. If I had to choose between should Harvard get $3 billion or should trade schools in that world, obviously the trade schools, He says. But I think there's a bigger issue, honestly. He said, the Trump administration's been warring with the elite institution over alleged failures to adequately address anti-Semitism and made additional threats amid foreign student records dispute. Okay. So he says, if I were king of the world with $3 billion, Mike Rose says, I would set up the biggest scholarship fund in the history of the country specifically for the skilled trades.
There you go.
And I would build an infrastructure that would allow people to apply, but then be weighted and measured in a way that the taxpayer felt good about. If we're going to give these kids a full ride to learn how to weld or how to be a plumber, let's make sure they really want to work. And funding isn't the only challenge. He says a generational shift in values has left a lot of young people unaware of the thousands of well-paying trade jobs available to them. I would spend some of that money making a persuasive case for the jobs that actually exist. The problem, in my view, right now isn't too few Harvard grads. It's a lack of enthusiasm for the trade schools. I'm sure they'd welcome the money, and what exactly would they do with it to change the stigmas and stereotypes that have kept a whole generation of kids from exploring these careers? That's what has to change. Look, he actually is a huge part of that solution. He does share that kind of message with people all the time. And like I said, he's extremely popular. I think he kind of put the idea of the skilled trades and the whole trade schools and you know, that as a career path. If he didn't put it on the map, he sure accentuated it. He's stirred up many conversations about exactly that kind of thing. He says the number of students enrolled in vocational-focused community colleges rose 16% last year to its highest level since the National Student Clearinghouse began tracking the data in 2018. The ranks of students studying construction trades rose 23% during that time, while those in programs covering HVAC and vehicle maintenance and repair increased 7%. So enrollment trends show promising signs for trade jobs. Rowe argues that the educational priorities and financial disparities remain at the forefront of that conversation. Open the Books, a group, they unearthed that Harvard's $53.2 billion endowment has grown by $14 billion or $2 billion annually since 2018. Remember when I said that Harvard could operate without even charging any fees at all? They could do it in perpetuity, actually. And this shows you, if $53.2 billion in endowments.
That's a lot of bees there.
Yeah.
Wow.
In total, the top-tier Ivy League school has more than $7 million per undergraduate student.
How much?
$7 million per student.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, they're just getting by, Bob. You know, times are tough in this tariff economy.
This is the wealthiest university on the planet, and their president right now is making an argument that they're due under the Constitution their tax-free status. So there has to be a giant reset button, Mike Rowe says. But we also need to really understand that while there's a reason for optimism in the stats, you know, referencing that, you know, folks going into the trades is up. He said, I'm not inclined to panic, but if I could reach the panic button, I'd hit it right now. So he wants to see those numbers increase. And yeah, that's a great idea. There's people making a very good living in a lot of those trades. And you know what? It seems like if you're halfway decent at a lot of this stuff, you're going to do extremely well. And if you take your craft very, very seriously, you're never going to be out of work a day the rest of your life. It might not mean much when you're 21, 23, 25, but I can tell you, when you're a little bit older, yeah, you'll be happy that you laid a great foundation for you and your family. 844 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. There's plenty more to talk about. Gators playing, FSU playing. I'll give you some details on that. And it is Friday. Here comes the weekend. Yeah, 97.3 The Sky. As a proud parent of three adult children now, I have my opinions about kids and what should be celebrated and what's stupid. And I'll share those with you at my own peril here.
Okay.
It is 8:48 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Happy, happy Friday. The Gator, the Lady Gator softball team, disappointing loss yesterday, 3-0 to Texas. Don't have time to whine or cry about it. Got to just get ready to play again tonight against Tennessee, who had their own heartbreak yesterday. The Gator boys are playing noon today, and that should be on ESPN2. They're playing East Carolina in a regional that's up in the Carolinas. FSU is hosting a regional at their stadium, and they take on Bethune-Cookman at 3 p.m., and that is on the ACC network. So plenty of college action for you. As we take you to Arkansas and buffoonery, look, again, this will irritate some parents, but I'm just going to tell you how I feel.
Uh-oh.
Going to any graduation ceremonies before the kids graduating high school, to me, is stupid. And I remember when they, you know, a lot of it was, I remember, what was it, eighth grade. I remember when people started doing that, the eighth grade graduations. Like, well, if you think they're done at eighth grade, by all means, you know, break out the, you know, the party paraphernalia.
Well, then a lot of times they do one at kindergarten.
Well, that's what I was going to go into. Now it's to kinder. It's like, really?
Yeah.
Really, graduations? Like, you know, that's the everyone gets a trophy mentality. You got to stop that.
I agree with you.
You got to stop that.
Yeah, you're right. There's no reason for it.
Especially if you're going to fight. And that's what happened.
Oh, no. One of those deals?
Yep.
Yeah,
I guess they were took a page out of the Beastie Boys lyrics, you know? You got to fight for the right to party, even if it's a kindergarten graduation.
But I've seen a couple of those where because you get, like, with blended families sometimes.
Why would that matter?
You get the mad ex-wife, you get the new girlfriend,
blended family, sorry.
I've seen some pulled hair at a graduation event.
Well, it's nothing that you have to worry about.
Good point. Get your hand off my beard. Yeah.
No. Oh.
So what was
that?
That
hurts.
What was this deal?
This was Arkansas.
Well,
come on now.
I lived in Arkansas. I can say that.
Arkansas?
Yeah, that's it.
Their kindergarten graduation, and maybe in Arkansas.
Was it the kindergarten graduation?
Yeah, and maybe in Arkansas, that is something to be celebrated.
They're finished. They're done.
It wasn't too long ago that the state average was third grade, but hey, okay, it was 100 years ago, but still.
It's not been that long.
They had a graduation that descended into madness when a large brawl broke out between parents, forcing school officials to scold the unacceptable behavior displayed in front of the little tykes. It's like, Now, a few years in the future, you're going to go, when some of these kids misbehave, you're going to go, now, where did they get that from?
Yeah.
And clearly we can tell you there's video evidence. Several adults threw punches at each other in the hallway at West Memphis Falk Elementary on Wednesday as the frightened screams of nearby children filled the crowded corridor. Multiple men and women were in the center of the melee, plowing through the school as other parents rushed to get their children away from the danger. Kids could also be heard crying, "Stop! Stop!" Wow. In front of the kids.
I wonder what prompted the whole thing. I mean,
women.
Okay.
Two taller men appear to stand in the middle in an attempt to separate the fighting women.
See, there, I told you.
But they soon start throwing haymakers of their own. It's like, hey, we got to break this thing up. Hey, all right, well, don't push so hard. Hey, that's my wife.
Wow.
The fight was eventually broken up as others held back the conflicting parties. No injuries were reported. A cause for the brawl was not revealed. One West Memphis resident called for parents to face criminal prosecution because of their involvement during the big celebration. Shouldn't be happening around children, especially. And these are grown folks at a kid's graduation. It shouldn't be happening at all. I agree. You know what shouldn't be happening at all? A stupid graduation.
Here you go.
For kindergarten.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about over-rewarding kids. Oh, Johnny, you're so,
you made it through finger painting.
You want to foist all the praise you can all over your kids when you can. But again, within reason, because if you praise them for everything all the time, what are you going to do when they really do something exemplary?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, good point.
So, anyway, that's my take on it. The kindergarten graduations are stupid. And I don't see... who made it a thing? Is Hallmark behind this?
Oh.
Is it their fault?
That's always possible.
By the way, what's not stupid is Father's Day, the most important holiday there is. Now, see, wow. It's not popular to say that. Everybody would say, Mother's Day. Mother's schmothers, they get plenty of attention. It's us, men. The unsung heroes.
Yeah, you get a pair of socks.
Like my dad used to say, son, I lead a life of quiet desperation. To which I've repeated many times, and usually the comeback is something like, not so much on the quiet part.
Well, there's that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm not exactly like my dad.
Not exactly.
More like my crazy Irish mother. Yeah, I could say that. Mom, I love you.
She's listening in heaven.
She's a saint listening in heaven. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right, see? Greg. How'd you know that?
I could tell.
All right, we'll get to 9 o'clock stretch coming up in a couple of minutes. Any burning desires to talk about it? Oh, you know what we haven't done?
What's that?
Your butter story.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was one of those things that we were talking, early in the show yesterday, and I started to say something because you were talking about bread. And I was going to go, I'll wait until What's Bugging You. But for the last 2 days, What's Bugging You has been full. I couldn't even get in line. But when it comes to butter and bread and restaurants, and people already know, probably because they're going, I know what you're going to say. It bugs me, too. You get room temperature bread and a cold pat of butter.
And when you say cold, I think some of them were in sub-zero temperatures. Oh, yeah.
So what are you supposed to do with that? Because what happens is if you're trying, you cut it into pieces, and you put the pieces on the bread, and you're trying to spread, you're ripping the bread apart. The butter is not, now if it's wrapped, I'll hold it in my hand and kind of warm it a little bit, and then, but it's like, come on, you go to a nice restaurant, it should be creamery, nice cream butter, The bread should be warm so that it melts the butter. But room temperature bread and almost frozen butter,
it's not going to work.
It does not work.
No, because you spread the butter on and you get butter turds on your bread.
Pretty much, yeah. And holes in the bread.
And then when you take a bite, you get dry.
Yes.
Big pat of butter.
Yeah.
Dry.
Yes.
We want it smoothed out. And listen.
It's not that hard.
And I get it. Your restaurant. There's these health departments and all that, tough regulations. But listen, for years now, we've had butter left out at room temperature indefinitely for days.
Yeah.
Maybe even a week. It doesn't go bad.
We just keep it covered. We got the little glass things. We got two of them in the kitchen.
But they couldn't do that in a restaurant. I get it that you couldn't maybe feel comfortable doing it days on end, but
sure.
How about like an hour before lunch?
Yes.
You set a couple of sticks out.
Now we're talking.
I hate all that stuff that's individually wrapped. Why are you making it all this extra work?
Well, it's easy for them. They can just buy them and put them out.
Just leave the ketchup, mustard. You're buying a hot dog, and they go, you want ketchup and mustard? And I want to put it on.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to do that somewhere else. Where? Oh. Over where the flies are. Anyway. Do we feel better now?
I hope so.
Okay. 9 o'clock stretch is coming up next. It is the Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy, live and local on News Talk 97.3 The Sky.